The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
God, I thank you again just for your word. And as we now get ready to hear from your word, God, I pray that you speak to us clearly. As Maureen has just encouraged us, God, there is a great gift that comes from you. The gift of the Holy Spirit. And any of us that are your children, that have put our faith and trust in you, God, we have the gift of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I pray, God, that you would help us to come to know the fullness of your Spirit in our life, and that we would learn what it means to walk in the Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen.
Hi, I'm Francis Chan. I wrote a book called Forgotten God, and I'd like to tell you what it's about. It's not a book that bashes the church, first of all. We have enough books telling us the problems in the American church. The problems are obvious. I'm convinced that the answer is just as obvious, though. The answer is the Holy Spirit, and that's what Forgotten God's all about. You see, when you read I think what bothers us is we read the book of Acts and we see, wow, there's so much power, there's so much going on, the Holy Spirit is just moving, active. In fact, it says in Acts 2, verse 43, it says that awe came upon every soul. It's like the people that saw that gathering or were a part of that gathering were in awe. And obviously they weren't in awe going, wow, that sermon was so good, or that soloist was amazing. It was awe because they recognized and saw a power they'd never seen before. They witnessed a love amongst the people and a commitment to each other that they'd never seen before. And I don't hear people talking that way about their churches. They go, oh, that's a good church. But they don't say, that's a powerful church. Even when we talk about people, we go, oh, he's a good guy, or she's so nice. But whoever describes someone as powerful? See, when I read the book of Acts, I see people as powerful. Like in Acts 4, verse 13, I love this. It says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. I mean, isn't that what you want for your life? It's not just someone telling you, oh, you're talented, and complimenting you. You want them to say, wow, you're just an ordinary guy, but I'm astonished by this power. It's obvious that, like, God walks with you. Like, everything you touch, there's this sense in which God is moving through you, so the focus is off of you. See, that's what this book is about. It's about the Holy Spirit. My hope is the same hope that Paul had for Timothy, that what he told Timothy, I got to remind you that you weren't given the spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and self-control. And my hope with this book is that as you read it, you'll be reminded that it's not about you. It's about the spirit that God's given you. And because of that, you're an amazingly powerful person.
God, and it will be continuing on.
Hi, I'm Francis Chan. I wrote a book called Forgotten God.
And I'm Francis Chan now. We began this series last week, and it will continue through Easter, and so we hope that you'll come back each week and help us walk in this journey together of discovering the truth of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You're going to hear story after story each week, but to really let this go deeper, I want to encourage you to get involved in one of our community groups. We've got, I think, 10, 12 community groups now, meeting in various areas throughout Woodbridge, Lake Ridge, Dumfries, Montclair, and a few here in Ashland. Find a group to get involved in. I think there's information in your Sunday morning handouts. There's definitely information at the Get Plugged In table. This is a study that you don't want to just breeze over. We really want to look into the Word of God and see the fullness and the richness of what the Word tells us about God's Holy Spirit and the reality of His presence in our lives. So join a group. It'll help you dig in a little deeper. It'll help you get to know one another better. And you can chew on the things we're talking about here on Sunday morning. So get involved. Get plugged in. This morning, we're going to be talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we kind of did an introduction. A lot of times, many of us grew up in churches where a lot of times we didn't talk about the Holy Spirit. There was the Father, there was the Son, and there was the Holy Scriptures. The Spirit kind of scared some of us in some of our backgrounds. I grew up in a very independent, fundamental Baptist church, and if you even clapped your hands, something was wrong with you. It was just a very different kind of environment, and things of the Spirit were unpredictable, and you wanted to be very careful how the Spirit moved. And that's not what God wants for us. That's not what God intended. Jesus himself said, things are going to be better when I leave because I will send the Spirit. And so if Jesus says it would be better, then you better believe that we can trust that it's going to be better if we come to know and embrace the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so I want us to dive into the study together because I believe that there's so much more for us to experience in our lives as individuals, and more importantly, in our lives as a church, if we truly become a Spirit-filled body of believers, led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, and seeing God move mountains by the power and presence of His Spirit in our lives. So let's dive in together. Last week, I had an object lesson, so I'm going to start out with one today. What is this? Are you shocked? At least a little, that it's not something from Star Wars? What is this? A spotlight. What's its purpose? A what? Landing airplanes? Okay. Illuminating things, doing cool effects during worship music, all kinds of things. What's it missing? Power. Power supply, power support. You're right. It's some people in here would argue with me about this. I was going to say it's a very well-crafted, well-designed piece of machinery, and I see heads shaking. It's horrible, he says. Some of them are broken on us, but you get what you pay for. On a church plant budget, we can't afford the good ones. So anyway, this is great, and it's designed to do a lot of cool things. This light is made up of many lights. It can do all kinds of things. It can shine many different colors. It's really pretty cool. What this can do would have cost thousands of dollars just 10 years ago. And yet, wow, look at that. Am I annoying you? Sorry. I'm shining this on people's faces. Without a power source, this will never be able to... Yes. Without a power source, this will never be able to fulfill its purpose. And so, you need power. And so, what happens when you plug power in? Ready? Watch this. Yeah, isn't that cool? Yeah, okay. This is the church of the weird pastor who annoys people. Okay, so, you need power. You need a power source in your life. And as Christians, we need that same thing. We are made as beautiful instruments for God's purpose to shine His light in a dark world. But without being plugged into who He is and having the power source of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we will just be useless. And so, as the scripture says, we who are like pots of clay, fragile pieces of clay pots, we need the lamp of God's life and the power of His Holy Spirit in us to shine through us. And so, how do we do this? How do we discover this? How do we plug into who God is? My hope is that today I'll begin to shed some light. No pun intended. I'll begin to shed some light on the subject as we look into God's Word together. God is there to empower us to be the people He wants us to be. I am not checking text messaging. I am looking at my notes. I couldn't find my laptop this morning, so I'm using my phone. God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is one. Somehow, in our human understanding, that can be hard to fathom, that God is one and yet three. There is one God and only one. But God exists in three persons. Three distinct persons. God the Father is a being. He has a will. He has a mind. He has a plan and a path. God the Father is an entity. We have God the Son. God the Son and God the Father work in harmony with each other, as does God the Holy Spirit. But they are two different beings, two different entities entirely. We know that Jesus became flesh. He was with God in the beginning. He was God, and all that was made by him. Jesus is God, and yet Jesus is not God the Father. We have God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is also an entity. He is a being. He is present in the world today. I shared with you that through the Old Testament part of Scriptures, the primary force of God or the presence of God, the entity of God that interacted with mankind was primarily God the Father, speaking through prophets and speaking directly to we as human beings. God was there. There were definitely times where the Holy Spirit is clearly pictured in Scripture. At the beginning of creation of the world, the Spirit hovering over the surface of the deep and moving throughout and forming creation. We see Christophanies, pictures of Christ in the Old Testament. We then move into Jesus coming, God putting flesh on, Jesus becoming one of us and moving into the neighborhood. Jesus, in God the Son, lived among us, interacted with us for 33 years, lived a perfect, sinless life. And his whole time here pointing to the will of the Father, pointing a direction for us to follow, coming for one purpose, to glorify the Father by giving himself up and dying in our place to pay for our sins. In the latter part of his life, he started to talk about to his closest friends, his followers, his disciples. And he said this, "It is better for you that I leave, because my Father will send another, a counselor, who will be with you." He said, "You've seen me do great things, but greater things will you do when the Holy Spirit comes." As he was speaking to his disciples, again, I want to remind you of a couple other verses we looked at. Acts 1:8, Jesus was about to go to heaven, and he was leaving the mission that he started behind in the hands of his followers, the disciples, them now and now us. He said, "You will be my witnesses, but wait, you can't do this on your own. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." The Holy Spirit is necessary for us to walk the life that God has called us to live. In John 14:16, I want to launch from there again. Actually, John 14:15. It's not in your handout, but if you have notes, we're actually going to use them this morning. They say week one because I spoke too long last week and didn't even get to these, so you have them now. John 14:15 is really where I want to start because it really begins here. We're going to begin here and we're going to end here today. John 14:15 says this. This is Jesus talking to those who are following him. And he says, "If you love me, you will what? You'll obey. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And then, if you love me, you'll obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." Reading on into 17, let me read it here. Let me keep going. "The Spirit of Truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you, and he will be," what? "In you. The time had not yet come for the Holy Spirit to live in us. The scriptures say that we as bodies are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit just isn't on the earth guiding us and around us. The Holy Spirit, if you are a child of God, if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for us by taking our place on the cross and paying for our sins, if you have made him your Lord, the Father has given you a gift, as Maureen pointed out just a few minutes ago. He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, his fingerprint on our life, the seal of the Holy Spirit. We have that gift. And now we got to figure out what to do with it. In John 16:7, it says this. I already referred to this once. I'm going to actually read it from the New Living Translation, but you'll see it up there in the NIV. It says this. "It is actually best for you that I go away." This is Jesus talking. "Because if I don't, the counselor won't come. If I do go away, he will come because I will send him to you." We need the Holy Spirit. God has sent the Holy Spirit. And if you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit in your life. We need to realize this, and we need to figure out what to do with this. So now I'm going back to my notes. There are three traits I want to point out about God. These three traits are true for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The first one, they all start with the letter O. The first one is that God is omniscient. What does omniscient mean? He knows everything. There is nothing outside of the knowledge of God. Now, it is kind of awesome to try to think about, and sometimes difficult to think about, how Jesus as a child somehow surrendered the godness of himself. The scriptures tell us that he grew in knowledge and favor with God and man. Jesus became fully man while still remaining fully God. But at all times, God is omniscient, all-knowing. The Holy Spirit is omniscient, all-knowing. And the Holy Spirit in your life knows every detail. He knows everything you're going through. He knows every struggle you're walking through. He knows every step and footprint ahead. Have you ever tried to go somewhere and not known where you're going? Is it usually better to go with someone who's been there before or on your own? What's usually better? I love a place called Panther Falls down by Liberty University. It's, I think, in Appomattox, Virginia. I've been there a couple times, but always with someone who led me there. I wanted to go back so bad that I found a couple friends on campus, and I said, I've been once or twice. This place is awesome. Let's go. And we went, and we found the falls. But the sun went down, and we couldn't find our way back to the car. I had not been there enough to know fully where I was going. I didn't have a guide, someone to lead me. And so we literally were stuck in the woods overnight with two crying girls from Liberty. One of them I was hoping to date. It didn't work out. But that was all God's plan, because just a month later I met Brandy. So God intended for me to get lost and have that girl not like me. God is there to lead us. The Holy Spirit knows everything. He knows everything about your current situation. The Holy Spirit knows everything about your past, your present, your future. And he is there to lead you and guide you into all knowledge and all truth. The Holy Spirit is there. He's omniscient. The next thing about God is God is also omnipresent. What's omnipresent mean? He's everywhere. God is everywhere at all times. He is everywhere. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. The scriptures tell us that now, as children of God, the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. Each and every one of us who believes in him, who are his children, the Holy Spirit lives in us. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. The Holy Spirit is working around the world. The scriptures tell us that no one comes to the Father unless the Holy Spirit draws him. The Holy Spirit is at work, working on the hearts of your coworkers who do not yet know who he is. The Holy Spirit is working on the lives of your family members, your neighbors, who do not yet know him as their Lord. The Holy Spirit is everywhere at work. Every year I've had the opportunity to say this phrase, I've said it. Henry Blackaby wrote, Experiencing God, right? And one of the first truths is that God is always working, and he invites us to join us in that work. The Holy Spirit is the part of God working on the hearts of men and women around the world who are far from him. And we need to join God in the work that he's doing so that they come to know him. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. And then the third is what? There you go, omnipotent. I knew somebody would have it. It's not really fair that you said it, Dan. Anyway, we won't go there right now. But anyways, the Holy Spirit is omnipotent, which means all-powerful. There is nothing more powerful than God. God spoke and the universe came into existence. I had a great discussion last night with a good friend here from Hope Hill who was just told me he was shaving and thinking about God. How many of you think about God while shaving? Most of us, right? He was shaving and thinking about the creation of the world and how could God do it? I can't wait to get to heaven and just say, can you replay that part? I'd love to just see it unfold. God is all-powerful, and the Holy Spirit has all power. And I want us to tap into this word power today. Jesus in John chapter 8 was walking with, actually John chapter 14. He was walking with his disciples. I gave you the wrong reference. Luke chapter 8. He was walking with his disciples. There was a crowd around him on all sides. And there were many people in the crowd waiting for Jesus just to walk by so they could see him. They had heard that he had raised the dead. They had heard that he had made blind see. They wanted a piece of Jesus. One woman in the crowd who the scriptures tell us had some type of illness. She was bleeding and couldn't stop. If only she could get close enough to Jesus, she might be healed. And the scriptures tell us that as Jesus and his disciples worked their way around the crowd, everybody pressing in on him, all of a sudden he stopped and he said, "Whoa, who touched me?" And everybody close to him was like, "What do you mean? You're surrounded. Everybody's touching you." And he was like, no. "I felt the power leave me." Luke 8:46. He turned and there was this woman there who needed to be healed. And the scriptures tell us that she was after the power and presence of Jesus in her life. And she simply just reached out and brushed the hem of his garment. And because of her faith and Christ and her reaching out to him, somehow, some way, the Holy Spirit's power left Jesus and touched her body and healed her. This same power is the same power talked about when Jesus says, "Wait, you'll be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes and you will receive power," in Acts 1:8. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Paul is telling his young disciple, Timothy, God has come and he's given you the spirit of what? Power. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. The spirit of power, of love, and of self-control. We have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead and the power that heals people in our lives. That's powerful stuff. As Francis Chan encouraged us at the beginning, do people look at you and see you as that person's a Christian? Or do they see you a person of power? My hope is that we will become a church that becomes so on fire and empowered by the Holy Spirit that people will see a difference in us, that we will make lifelong change and impact in the community where God has placed us. The Spirit brings power. Power for what? I want to give you a few things real quick before we run out of time. First of all, the Holy Spirit gives us power, number one, of salvation. In John 3:5-6, it says this, Jesus answered, said, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter into the kingdom of God." You cannot enter from this life to the next, not by your own good works, not by trying to be a good religious person. There is no one that can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit of God gives birth to the Spirit. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus when this verse is shared, and he's telling Nicodemus how he has to become born again. And Nicodemus is like, "What are you talking about? I'm a full-grown man. Am I supposed to crawl back in my mother's womb somehow?" It's like, no, you need to be born of not only of water, but of the Spirit. Have you been born again? Have you called out to Christ and said, "Make me new. Come into my life and make me a new person. Come into my life, forgive me, and give me the power and presence of your Holy Spirit." We must be born of the Spirit in order to be a Christian and to enter the kingdom of God. Romans 8:16 tells us that the Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit himself, testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Have you ever gone through times of doubt? Have you ever gone through times of wondering, is God really there? As you walk with God more, as you walk in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, God will fill you in ways and all fear will be cast away. Doubts will fade away as you walk in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Number two, the second power that Christ gives us through the Holy Spirit is to walk in God's will. To walk in God's will. We referred to this verse already. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. And he will remind you of everything I've said to you. John 14:26. John 6:13 goes on to say, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. As a junior in high school, I felt like God was wanting me to step up and to make a difference in my high school. I felt like he was wanting me to share my faith more with my friends. I had heard a story about a girl in Florida starting this Christian club in school. They had a chess club. They had all kinds of different clubs. And she started a Christian club. I went to my principal. I said, can we start a Christian club? And he was like, separation of church and state. You can't do that. All this stuff. And I was like, I felt discouraged. But all of a sudden, without really even having control of myself, I started saying things to the principal. It wasn't like, I'm not trying to freak you out. I knew what I was saying. But God was bringing verses to me that I had never memorized, things that I had heard. I remembered parts of certain stories of that girl's life. And the stuff was just coming. Like as I was talking, the next sentence was just forming. And I'm just like, I had no premeditated thought. The stuff was just coming. It was like God was giving me the words to say to this principal. For the next like 10 minutes, I explained why I thought we should be allowed, why the Equal Access Act of 1984, which I had heard like once about, I brought up all this stuff. At the end of the 10 minutes, the principal was like, let me get back to you on that. And by the end of the day, he gave us permission, and we formed a Christian Bible club. The Holy Spirit intervened. He gave me the words to say. Jesus said this to his disciples, when the authorities arrest you, when you are brought before him, don't be afraid for what to say. The Holy Spirit will give you the words. The Holy Spirit will walk with us and help us to walk in God's will. You're wondering, should I go this way or this way? Ask God. Listen to his Holy Spirit in your life. Pray. The Holy Spirit will lead you into his will. Number three, the Holy Spirit will give you the power to share Christ boldly. He said this in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 through 5. He said, my message and my preaching were not with wise or persuasive words. They weren't about, listen to this great argument I came up with. It will convince everyone to believe in God. It wasn't about that at all. Paul is saying, it wasn't about me at all. It wasn't about my words. But instead, it was with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on men's wisdom, on what I've convinced you of, but instead on God's power. God gives us power to share his Christ boldly. Share Christ boldly. Acts 4:31. After they prayed. Now this is, a couple guys are in prison. And they're praying for God to even use them in prison. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. God wants the Holy Spirit to be in your life. Remember Acts 1:8? For what reason? To be his witnesses. God didn't just save you so that you get to go and spend eternity with him and sing kumbaya forever. God saved you so he could give you his mission. God put the Holy Spirit in you, not just to give you warm fuzzies, but to take it and to use it to reach those who do not yet know him. The Holy Spirit is in our life so that we can proclaim his truth to a world that does not yet know him, to share Christ boldly. Number four, the Holy Spirit gives us power to live a holy life. Romans 8:5-6 says this, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. In Galatians, we're kind of have a picture painted for us in the words that Paul uses to the church of Galatia. He says, so I advise you, and this is again the NLT. I'll go ahead and read it on, you have the NLT. Look at that. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Keep going. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. The Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. I heard it explained like this. It's almost as if you've got two warring. I paused because the illustration was about dog fighting, which became ugly with Michael Vick. But anyways, it was about dog fighting, so I'll just go with it. It's almost like you have two dogs, one dog representing the Holy Spirit and one dog representing your sin nature. Whichever one you feed more is going to win the battle. Garbage in is garbage out. If we are constantly living our life not in the things of God, we're going to be feeding this dog that represents our sin nature. And this dog is going to overpower the dog that represents the Holy Spirit every time there's a battle. Every time there's a temptation, you're not going to be able to stand up because you're not walking in the Spirit. Instead, you're walking in the flesh. You're walking in the things of this world. I think it's the NIV that says differently. It's at least in the King James Version. It doesn't say if you live, it says if you walk in the Spirit. Walking is an everyday menial task. It's something we all do. By the age of 2 or 3, every child's learned how to walk. And what I think the encouragement here is that even in the littlest details of life, we need to let the Holy Spirit lead us. Even in how you brush your teeth, my mother taught me as a teenager. It's like, how is brushing your teeth at all a symbol of godliness? She was like, I asked you to brush your teeth. You obey. That's godliness. And now you go back in there and put the cap on the toothpaste because that's obeying also. I'm glad I don't have to follow that rule anymore. I always have this big clump of dry toothpaste I got to pull off before I can use it. But anyway, it's better that way. I don't know. It's just so hard to keep the cap on that thing. Whatever part of us we feed more is going to win. We've got to learn what it means to walk in obedience if we want the Holy Spirit able to win in our life. If we want the Holy Spirit to reign in our life, to give us the power He's there to give, we've got to learn daily what it means to walk in the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the things of the world, you're going to see that live out in your life. You're not going to see the fruits of the Spirit alive and flowing in your life if all you ever do is walk in the ways of the world. You've got to discipline. I've got to discipline myself to walk in the ways of the Spirit in order for the fruits of the Spirit to become abundant in my life. Number five, the Holy Spirit is there to give us the power to make a difference with spiritual gifts. Hebrews 2:4 says, God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles. And gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. We'll come back to that in a second. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says this, a spiritual gift is given to who? To each of us. When you put your faith in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you and to give you gifts that are used, as we were reminded by Maureen, to benefit the body of Christ. A spiritual gift is given to each of us for the means of helping the entire church. So here's what we need to do. Some advice. We need to, first of all, don't resist the Holy Spirit. Acts 7:1. I think this is Stephen, before he gets martyred, telling these religious people, you stiff-necked people, with uncircumcised hearts, these were Jews who thought they were special because they had circumcision and the law. but they were not listening to the Holy Spirit in their life. You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you're just like your father. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Has the Holy Spirit ever led you to do something and you were like, I'm not sure I can do that? That's resisting the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been in a church service where God is leading you to make a decision or go back to pray with someone or to turn to your spouse and to say, I'm sorry about something, and you were like, I'm not sure? That's resisting the Holy Spirit. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. Number two, the second point under there, Spirit-filled advice. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about this more next week, about what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says this, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can allow many things to fill us, rage, anger, substance abuse. We can be filled by a lot of things. We need to learn what it means to be filled by God's Spirit and presence in our life so that we can tap into the power available to us. God has power he wants to give us. And it's available to us. We've got to choose to allow ourselves, though, to be plugged into the power source. John 15, Jesus said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can't do anything. But if we are part of the vine, we will bear much fruit. Are you fully plugged into Christ? Are you fully plugged into the presence of God's Holy Spirit in your life? If not, you need to take whatever steps need to be taken so you can get plugged in. Let's pray. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far off, all whom the Lord our God will call. Father God, I know there are some in this room who have never called out to you, who have never decided to repent and turn from their own way of living life, to then follow you and to take the step of baptism and to take the step of fully putting their faith in you. And they are in many ways trying to live this life on their own. God, you've made it clear to us that apart from you, we can do nothing. So God, I pray that those who are in this room who maybe have never confessed with their mouth that you are Lord, believed in your heart that you died for them on the cross, that they would do that here and now. God, that they would put their faith in you, opening up the door of their life for your Holy Spirit to come in and to reside within them and to begin to fill them in their lives with your presence. God, I pray for the believers that are in this room that have put their faith in you, that have become children of God. I pray this for myself, Lord Jesus, that we would learn each day what it means to fully walk in you, to die to ourselves and our own selfish, sinful desires, and instead to choose you. As you said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if we obey your commands, your Holy Spirit will come and fill us, God. And so I pray that you would help us to discover what it means to fully obey you in every area of our life. God, I pray for the believers in this room that may, in little ways or big ways, been resisting you and the leading of your Spirit, that they would stop resisting you right now, that they would call out to you and say, God, yes, I'm here. Show me the next step. Whatever it is, God, show me how you want to use me. Help me to no longer resist you, but to say yes and to let you lead me. God, I pray that would be the prayer for each of us this morning as we close our time together. Men and women, boys and girls in our room this morning, as we think about these things, I want to encourage you to not come and take communion in a minute until you feel like you're no longer resisting the Holy Spirit. If you are a believer this morning, you can look at me. If you're a believer here this morning, I want you to, before you come up and take communion, I want you to just have some personal time with God and say, God, speak to me right now. Is there anything in my life that I am resisting, that I am not allowing myself to be open to? God, show it to me. Make it clear to me and help me right now to surrender that to you and to take a step of obedience. Now, I'm not saying you've got to get it all figured out. God may want you to go and conquer the world. Right now, all God wants to know is that you're ready and willing to let him lead you. And when you feel like you've heard from God this morning, when you feel like, okay, God, I don't see anything that I'm holding back. I want all of you. I'm ready. And I want to do this because of what you did on the cross for me. I'm ready to remember that your body was broken for me, that your blood was shed for me. And as I take communion today, God, I am saying, yes, I open my whole life to you. Thank you for dying for me. Now help me to live for you. So communion is open, but I want you to only come when you feel like you have met with God and you're ready to move forward in receiving it. And maybe you need to pray with someone before you do that. We'll have prayer teams in the back. I'll be up here at front ready to pray with you about whatever it is. Let's not resist the Holy Spirit this morning. Let's begin to walk in his presence. Father God, I pray that you move now in our hearts. I pray that you move now in those who are putting their faith in you for the first time. I pray that you'd move now in the Christians that are here. Help us, God, to look at our lives, to allow us to be examined by the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, and to respond as you lead us. In your name we pray.